Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our Old Testament lesson today is from 1 Kings chapter 19. At Horeb, the Mount of God, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came to him a voice that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. You shall also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have bowed, that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read the psalm. "I will listen to what the Lord God is saying, for you speak peace to your faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to you.
Truly your salvation is very near to those who fear you, and your glory may dwell in our land.
Steadfast love and faithfulness have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Faithfulness shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield its increase.
Righteousness shall go before the Lord, and shall prepare for battle by battle."
Our second reading today comes from Romans chapter 10. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart.' That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one who believes with the heart and so is justified, and one who confesses with the mouth and so is saved." The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you, Christ. Have you ever been to Niagara Falls? Anybody? Yeah. Once Jan and I, this is Jan over here today. Did I tell you my name is Woody? Did I forget that in my introduction?
No.
I said my name? Okay, I'm still Woody and this is still Jan. And one time we went to Niagara Falls and it was really exciting because we took our daughter and her recently married husband to the falls as well. And it was so much fun because you can look out and you can see the water coming down the rapids. I mean, they're so fast coming down the rapids, and then they just crash over the falls, and then clouds of mist start coming up, and even when you're standing hundreds of feet up above it, you get wet because it's just water everywhere. And we were there to spend a few days with our daughter and her husband before beginning marriage, just beginning their marriage. And on this day, they decided that what they wanted to do was go all the way down where you could get on a boat and you could get closer and closer and closer to the falls as I stood up there watching them get closer and closer. You can imagine what I was feeling. I was fearful for a young couple. I could see them down there laughing as they move precariously close to disaster, the falling water. But you know, it's more than that. I was thinking about the lifetime commitment they had made to each other and the way that we know love comes and goes in our lives, and all of life involves those things. I was seeing their pain and joy and grief and hilarity and hard times and good times. And I was enlivened by love and threatened by chaos. The uncontrollable nature of water, the power of love, the fragility of the heart. There are moments that leave us gasping between ordered life and chaos. And we find that from the very beginning. In the beginning, there was chaos, and God separated out the waters and created life. Another time, there was a torrential rain, and God came to save the people in an ark, and a dove of peace flew out to the so that the world might be right again and a rainbow of hope appeared up in the sky. Another time, the people crossed the Red Sea, and in order to do that, God parted the waters for them to walk on through. And after Jesus spent 40 days up in the wilderness, he came down and immediately went to the River Jordan. And there his cousin John baptized him in the water, the chaos, and brought him up with a clear vision and a new life that he was to take. I mean, water and chaos, it's the story all the way through. But things other than water send us into chaos. A medical diagnosis can send us there. Failing health of a loved one pushes us into choppy waters. Sending children off to a new school year, sending teachers off and administrators, the whole thing brings up fears and worries about the future. Often we worry about what the future may hold, and often we feel like we're floating in a tiny boat on its way toward a crashing waterfall. Which is where Jesus was this very day. His cousin John, this is the story just before, you don't know this. His cousin John had just been killed in the most brutal way, just a day earlier. And he sought a place. Jesus wanted to go up to a place to be by himself, to meditate, to pray, to heal, to try to push the chaos away. He sent the disciples on ahead in a boat to go across the sea to a new place of ministry. And in the night, their boat was hit by cascading waves and by turbulent winds in their journey. And Jesus' inner journey, the turmoil matched one another that night. And yet in the morning, Jesus got up and he walked on the water out toward them. Because now his head was straight and his heart was clear and his purpose was clearly in mind. And he set out because he wanted to be with his friends. And for him, the water, it didn't look like choppy water, chaos at all. For him, he was just walking straight out to be with them. And they saw him walking. They heard his voice saying, "Don't be afraid." And in the midst of turmoil, we hear, "Don't be afraid." And of all the things that could be said in that moment from someone on the boat, it was Peter who came up with this. He said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come. I'll walk on the water out to you." Peter doesn't even know if it's really Jesus. He's certainly never seen Jesus walk on the water before. But Jesus says, how did he say this? I don't know. He said, "Come on." And Peter climbs over the edge of the boat. He puts his foot on the water. And for some reason, it seemed to hold him up. And so he put another foot out. And then he thought about taking a step. And then he looks down. And when you look down, then the fear rises up in you. And he knows that he's not God. He's not Jesus. He's just Peter. What was he thinking? And he starts going down. You've been there before, haven't you? You found yourself in a place where you can no longer stand up. You've gotten yourself into a place where you can't get out. You've made a mistake that was just a mistake. The minute you made it, you knew it. You've let the wrong word slip out of your mouth. You've hurt someone else. You've found yourself carrying around burdens and concerns and fears that are bigger than any wave, any storm, any hurricane, even. You felt like you were going under. And that's what Peter was doing. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Jesus had to pull him out of the water. He probably had to grab him with both hands and pull him up close. He had to pull him close like an embrace. Face to face and heart to heart and life to life, there they were together. An unforgettable moment. A powerful lesson Peter learned. And it's a central lesson important for us all. Because we forget forget how much we depend on God until tragedy strikes in the form of illness or job loss or the end of a relationship or some grave mistake we made, and suddenly our ongoing need for God becomes painfully obvious. But it doesn't matter in the least to God when or where or why we call, nor what we need. God responds. Jesus reaches out. Remember this image, and holds on to Peter. God is always there. But don't forget that this whole incident begins with Jesus telling his disciples to go out across the sea. He told them to go on ahead. He knew that they could do it alone. They could make it in that boat. They could get to the other side. And then when Peter wants to step out on the sea, Jesus tells him to go for it. There had to be delight in Jesus' summons to Peter to come out from the boat. It's obviously God wants us to live lives of outrageous risk and courage and even stupid hope sometimes. And anytime we do that, we're going to have falls. Sometimes because our hearts get ahead of our abilities, or our hopes exceed our resources, or life just smacks us in the face. Sometimes it just love, like, you know, you cannot walk back row, you cannot walk on the water, you just can't. That's when we need to remember what Jesus said that day. His first words to his friends when he stepped dripping wet with Peter into the boat are, "Take heart. Take heart. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. Don't feel shame for failing. Don't feel bad because you got frightened. Storms come, storms go. Take heart and move on." Then he says that he is with them. And the words he used, he says, "I am." Oh, the words that God spoke when Moses wanted a name for God. Jesus says, "I am with you." God is present with you. Jesus is present with you, giving you his name to call out, just to call out, to call on, because he's there. That's why I think Peter is the best disciple of all. He's ready to charge ahead no matter what. And he fails hugely over and over. No one fails as many times as Peter. He denied Jesus. Remember this? Denied him three times. He got confused by the parables and said, "Can you please just explain this to me? I'm not getting this." He wanted to keep the children away from sitting in Jesus' lap. He argued with the other disciples about who was the best. He just knew he was the best. And up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he missed a holy moment that was happening. He was once called by Jesus a stumbling block. There he was at the Last Supper. He did not want to get his feet washed. And then when Jesus said, "I'm going to wash him anyway," he said, "Okay, well, just wash all of me." I mean, he just can't stop, can he? And then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and he falls asleep. He runs away while Jesus is still in the grave. And in our story today, takes two steps out of a boat in the midst of a storm and sinks ingloriously down through the water. And yet, in all these times, Peter reached out for Jesus, out for God, who grabs hold. And Peter learns from what has happened, and he carries on. This is the example we need. This is the disciple we need to admire. He dries himself off. He doesn't keep it a secret how he failed miserably. Let the others laugh if they want. And then he moves on. He steps forward. He begins again. move on, step forward, begin again. This is God's word to us today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.